And I now would like to introduce tonight's speaker, Charlene. Thank you, Charlene. All right. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Hi, everybody. My name's Charlene. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you, John, for asking me to speak. My sobriety date is April 22nd, 2015. So I have 10 years. I took 10 years in April. Yeah, there's nothing like turning double digits, man. I feel like I grew a little bit, you know? And there's nothing like getting the big 10, the balloons, like, you know, I mean, there's just the little things, right? This is where I came and got sober, South Bay Pioneers. I love South Bay Pioneers. I didn't love it when I got here, you know? It grew on me. It grew on me. But you know what really grew on me is it made me laugh. It made me laugh. It made me laugh when there was nothing funny, you know, when I got in here, there was just nothing funny. But I got to say to the token takers, you know, because they're pretty important to me right now. Jesse, good job. 1 year, you know. I love being up here because, you know, when you're the speaker, you actually get to see and feel everything that's happening up here, you know. And I got to just see and feel it. And good job, Patty. I know you can't do crowds. I mean, you're loud, but you can't do crowds. And yeah, in the 2 years, you know, what a good sponsor, man. That's awesome. I love everything you said up there. You know, you should be speaking up here, you know. And then Kim, you know what? Oh my God. I have so many memories of Kim, good memories. Kim is an orchestrator, in my opinion. This is all my opinion. This is not AA's opinion. This is everything I say for the next 45 minutes is strictly Charlene's opinion. You know, what I believe, who I, you know, respect and all that jazz. I'm not speaking for South Bay Pioneers. Kim, when I turned one, right? Kim does this in her own home. And this used to baffle me, right? Because, you know, I'm an alcoholic and an addict, okay? I was a meth addict for 20 years, you know? And you know what that means, you know? The brain is just, woo, okay? So when I would see people like Kim, I met these women at South Bay on Wednesday night, and they were just so kind to me. And I mean, they did know my dad, so they had that. And John knows my dad. Her husband was my brother's boss. So John actually saw me, I think, one time when I was all on drugs. I mean, I didn't know this was going to happen, but yeah, you know, so there's history. There was history, but still, it used to really baffle me the way that people would open up their home. Irene did it, too, with book studies. Irene and Larry Jose did it, too. And I used to just think, wow, man, AA's got something in it. Or, you know, like there's, I didn't realize it was a God. It was the God thing. I didn't realize it at the time, though. I was super confused. I was like, man, what if somebody comes in here and just bang, 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 let me in, I'm drunk. You know, I used to think about stupid stuff. But I mean, and you know what? I'm sure people have done that, and I'm sure they handled it. I'm sure everything was fine. But to, you know, I didn't have the God thing down. I didn't have any trust. I didn't have to, I didn't understand life. Life to me was always like scary. You know, I wouldn't have told you that when I got here, but I was scared. You know, it was just ripping and running, lying and you know, jail and prison. So yeah, I got in a lot of trouble as a kid. My story is nothing really special either. You know, I grew up in Chula Vista for the first 10 years, got institutionalized for behavioral problems, you know, mental health problems that I never wanted to own, which looked like depression. And, you know, to me, I call it kid problems, but I actually had a pretty bad personality disorder. But what I will tell you sitting up here as a member of AA, that no matter what mental health problem you have, I do believe you can get this thing. You can work the steps, you can find God, that you can read the book. You just need some help. Don't do it alone. And if you find folks, you know, like myself, who identify with the mental health part and say, hey, man, yeah, I got problems too. I can't read that good too. You know, I mean, I could read, but the internalizing the information was very difficult for me. I needed people to, like, repeat themselves to me, especially when it came to reading the book. Prayers intimidated me. But it was just my mind messing with me, you know, depending on my moods, right? And I thought, you know, a lot of that did get ironed out with sobriety, but I really don't think it was just sobriety. I feel like it was being in these rooms with people I felt safe with and people who had what I wanted. They could come in a room, you know, do this thing. To me, normal, sitting down was not normal to me. Like, I could not sit when I first got here. And I would always talk to whoever was sitting right next to me. I don't know, you know, it took me a long time to really follow directions, okay? But let's see. So It's always hard because there's so many things I want to talk about, but there's so many things. But I'll just say that, yeah, my dad's an AA. I'm a daddy's girl, always lived with dad. Dad always had my back, no matter what. Mom, didn't have that relationship with mom. I was my mom's thorn in her side, so to speak. You know, we just, thank God she's still around and I can have a pretty decent relationship with her now, thanks to this program, because it's, you know, love and tolerance. It's just bottom line respecting your parents. You know, they're in their 80s, you know what I mean? So there's no fight to be fought with that. Anything that happened in the 80s, I'm not gonna bring up to them while they're in their 80s. I mean, I need to really think about, you're welcome, you know what I mean? No, and I really mean that. You know what I mean? The older I get, the older I think, man, I don't want some 40, 50-year-old talking to me about what happened in 1985. You know what? Miss me with that. I'm so, you know, to God, go deal with God, you know? Go find God in some way. But, you know, so many times people had that love and tolerance. Finally, I've come to a place where I can have it for others. Yeah, and it's nice. It's nice to finally not feel like somebody owes me an apology. Yeah. Yeah, because that would keep me up a lot, right? Like, you know, why doesn't my mom love me? You know what I mean? Like, what the hell? Like, but who does, though? And what always filled that spot, guys, is God. When I really would feel like, man, it's not just about the mom thing, right? It goes so much, just being single for a long time in sobriety, because I was afraid, because I had a bad picker, you know what I mean? And I didn't want to challenge my sobriety with intimacy, right? And, you know, there's, and, you know, step work is, you got to get in, lean on into that, you know, and there's sex conduct. And, you know, I came up with three things. I remember I was going to, and I stuck to those three things. I should have made it five, but I mean, three is a good start. And, you know, the three things were basically my partner needed to, this was mine, you know, they needed to believe in God, be sober, because I can't do it when, you know, I didn't want to be with the normie who could mess around, you know, and then they had to have a job, you know. And I thought, because that was what I was not used to looking at. I wouldn't look at it like that. And, you know, I was just, you know, when you have a bad picker, you got to, you know, acknowledge and accept and then find a solution, right? And I continue to do that today, you know, because that's actually it's not the guys I was picking. It was me. I just like looking at it like that and keeping it simple. And that goes for jobs, too. You know what? I've had, I pick challenging jobs. But I learned a lot from everything I picked. And it definitely, I got into steps due to my choices. And I think that's what I really want to talk about is choices. And no matter how many times I have to do something over, it's okay. It's okay. And there's magic that happens in the steps. And I used to always wonder, what does that mean? Like magic? Well, I had to do every piece of what was suggested to have any kind of change, right? And it was like, I used to always just skip it, or I'd be doing a step and I'd check out, or I'd be praying and I'd check out, you know, because I'd feel too vulnerable. And so I think that's why I have to do things over and over. So if you ever feel like, if you're new and you feel like, man, I already did that, just keep doing it. That's what I've done, you know, and I'll continue to do it. Because life is challenging right now. You know, my dad's terminal, and I found that out in the summer. There's no death date. Other friends and I've had that have cancer, sometimes they'll get a death date. And however, I'm grateful, you guys, because I'm sober and I get to show up for my dad and just do things that I know will make him happy. Like whatever he wants to eat, I'll bring it. Like I went to Julian and got his apple pies, and you know, everybody loves that, right? So I go and, you know, I do whatever he wants, you guys, and he's really simple, so it's really easy. It's not like he's gonna ask me for something that I can't provide. And it's just, I'm just really grateful that I had my dad for as long as I had my dad. And I got to see him turn from the raging alcoholic that he was all throughout my childhood. He got sober when I was 19, and then having a relationship with him in sobriety, I was just happy to have him the first year I got sober, and then another year, and it was just super cool, you know? Like, because we were sharing this thing called sobriety, and he saw the God come into my life. He saw me trusting just everything. It just got really good, and I'm just super grateful for that. So, yeah, you know, and I always prepared. I always listen to people when they say, you know, identify as a daddy's girl. I was like, okay, let me listen to how they're going to do it, you know, because death is scary, and no matter what, I don't got an excuse to drink or use. Even if I lose my best friend, my dad, my pets, no matter what I lose, I trust God that that's exactly the way it's supposed to happen, and I'm going to keep it moving and do exactly what we do, because I have some great, I have a great sponsor, Irene and Larry Jose, and you know what, I've had enough conversations where I know that they've walked through it, that Irene's walked through things. I know women in here have walked through everything I just mentioned. And so, yeah, I don't have that fear, thank God. You know, it's just going to be a walk. It's going to be a walk. And I think, but yeah, that's what's going on for me currently. And but just having the mental clarity of everything I'm saying right now, having mental clarity that, yeah, you know what, life without Dad is different. You know, he was just somebody I could always talk to. We live together. He's in the hospital right now, you know. They're taking good care of him. He has a really good VA and all that. He was in the military for a long time, did really good with that. And so I don't have to worry about what some people have to worry about with their parents that age out, you know. Like, he's got really good insurance, thank you, God. So, but yeah, I miss him, you know. We used to talk. It just always felt good. I always felt like I had a cheerleader. So, he always wanted the best for me. And because of that, and because of the women in the rooms too, the nurturing, you know, I didn't have that growing up. You know, I was raised in places that used to, like Southwood, Vista Hill. You know, I was in behavioral institutions, and I grew up with crazy kids, straight up. So that's who I like to hang around with still. That's why I'm here. No. And then I went from, I grew up in those places, and I did learn a lot of good cognitive behavioral therapy. They didn't call it that back then. They call it, it was pretty bad. You know, they used to restrain us a lot and stuff like that. So I learned real quick. You know, I didn't like it when that would happen, obviously. And, you know, being on meds, they don't do that to children now. Certain meds, they don't do that. You got to be over 18 to be on certain meds. So, but, you know, walking through all that, and then, you know, I started using meth when I was about 14. And I was so afraid to be like a real alcoholic, right? Because my dad, I was like, I don't want to be a real alcoholic that drinks Ancient Age every night, and I hear ice cubes clicking, and I know my dad's going to turn into that other guy. I was like, no, no, and more no's. So when I found meth, or meth found me, or whatever, I just said, man, this is my friend of the end. You know what I mean? It was a way, I really thought it wasn't going to be what I saw with alcoholism. I really, really believed that with all my heart. Like, I just did, and I thought for a long time, too, nobody knew. Now they knew. And, man, I didn't really, and then when I started going to jail and prison for methamphetamine, it was like, I was willing to take the consequences, because, you know, like I said, I knew, I just, that's all I wanted to do is just be high all the time, you know, and I knew early on, too, I had an addictive personality, because I kind of did everything I did for effects. If it felt good, I'm doing it, and then I hope I don't ever have to stop, you know. It could be just anything. But anyways, AA, I remember when I first came to, I didn't think I'd ever be able to be like a sponsor. I really was, you know, really just thought, I think a lot of us think that, you know, or they think they can't come up here and do what I'm doing. Oh, no, you can. Yeah, you can. And you know why I say that? Only because of the God thing. Only because of the God thing. Because starting around 3 p.m. today, I started just praying. Like, I'm not me. Just you be here, God, not me. You know what I mean? And that's the only reason why certain things don't scare me. Like, I'm really scared to fly. And that's the same technique. Bless you, Dora. That's the same thing I do when I'm about to get on a plane, because I'm so scared to fly, is I just pray and I ask God to, you know, just be in my body and walk me through it, you know, because fear can be, you know, paralyzing. And it can stop us from having the promises, right? And that's something that you will have in this program. It'll kind of be just like on a day you don't expect it, you know, and maybe you'll be in a meeting, right? And that's when I felt like a lot. I'm like, man, I'm not scared anymore of things that used to really scare the shit, you know, the heck out of me, right? I'm not the same. Maybe I'm still kind of, you know, but not scared, you know, not paralyzed is what I'm saying. And, you know, what helped me a lot is seeing other people paralyzed to where they weren't going to do anything. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. And, you know, it'd be a friend. And just helping them, being there, listening to them, making eye contact, grabbing their hands to pray, it works. It works. It just works. And, and I've always been a skeptic. Like, I'm like, yeah, they're lying. You ain't got 10 years or whatever. You know, I always would think those thoughts because, to me, sobriety was impossible. It really, you know, but it's not. It's really not. Like, you know what? Sacrifices, too. Like, you know, I was willing to sacrifice everything when I first got here because, like I said, I was I was not mentally stable. I was hearing and seeing things that I definitely wanted to go away. I didn't want to tell anybody because I was afraid you would like maybe call 911 or something, you know? And so I kept a lot of it in, but I came and I laughed, even though I was crying inside. I laughed because I was glad that I didn't have, no one was going to ask me for anything. You know, they were just going to be like, hey, Charlene, glad you're here. You know, there's no, they didn't expect nothing out of me. And that love, definitely, the seeds were dropped. The seeds were dropped and they started to develop. And that's why I never relapsed, because I was so afraid. Oh my God, what if I relapse? Like when my ex came back that got out of prison and he went ding dong on my door. And I was like, oh, and I loved this man for 10 years. We were together, totally toxic relationship, total, you know, dope fiends, you know, hitting the pipe, all that, you know what I mean? Like just all bad. But we knew each other since we were young, so we had the same, you know, problems. And, but yeah, when he came and did a ding dong, I had 3 years. I just took a 3-year token. And here he comes, you know what I mean? And I was like, but I'm telling you, it was just like how the book says, I recoiled. See, you guys get it, but if I told someone else that, they wouldn't get it, you know what I mean? To be like, you recoiled, durr. No, you didn't. But you know what? Can I tell you something? He recoiled too. He didn't want it. No, he didn't. He wanted sick Charlene. He wanted that old Charlene. And you know what? That's when I knew for just a small moment, I'm not that girl anymore. Like I had that inside moment, right? Hey, I'm not that. If he don't think I'm that girl, then I must not be that girl. Do you know what I mean? I was like, man, and but I remember crying because I was sad and scared and closed the door. He didn't leave fast. He was in his car just with the engine on type of shit. But I went in my room, closed the door, locked the door, scared. Dad wasn't there. I was by myself. And I called Brianne, my sponsor, and I told her what happened. And I'm crying and I was just like telling her what happened. And she answered the phone, which is amazing because I was already planning. Okay, if she doesn't answer the phone because she had a job. Yeah, I didn't have a job. Or maybe I did, but it wasn't a real job. It was like my first job, you know, where you don't have 40 hours, right? And yeah, it was just nice. And you know what? It didn't matter if she could relate. She was there for me. She was just there. She answered the phone. That's why it's so good just to answer the phone. Don't look at the name too long. Just answer it. You know, they'll tell you what they need. And you don't have to have an answer. Just listen. It's so good. It's just so good. Because she didn't hang up till I hung up. That was awesome. And she's not like a professional, you know, AA or anything. She's just one of us. You know? So, yeah, it was just stuff, the simplest stuff, right, guys? At the right moments kept me from me, you know? And so I don't know, it's just stuff like that, man. And I thought, you know what? Let me just get a little closer, a little deeper, a little more into this program, whatever that looked like. A lot of it was just not saying no. And saying, if I had to think about it, I'd say, yeah, let me get back to you, but I really would get back. Like if it was a commitment, like something scary like this, you know? Or even to sponsor someone, because maybe I just wanted to get to know them a little bit better, you know, just to see. And I love those three things. I have three things too. But it's just what, you know, we're told to say, like, are you willing to go to any length? You know, and then seeing their face change, yes or no. Because it's in, the, you know, you see it in their eyeballs, you know, you're like, it's like a catch. It's like, are you married? It's like one of those questions, but. But no, yeah, I wish I could tell you that everybody I sponsored has stayed sober, but I'm glad I met them, and I think they feel the same. I do. I feel like they feel the same way. I don't know. I want to talk a little more about mental health and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, I was afraid to tell people, you know, that I'm like, could people come up to me like, are you okay today? And I would lie, of course, like we all do. Oh yeah, I'm fine. But you know, it's just because I think really when you're in your head for like more than 24 hours, it can get really dark and weird, you know? And like I'll isolate from people and I won't answer the phone and I won't do things that I wanted to do, you know? And sometimes it's just burnout, like from work. Like, you know, everybody gets a little burnout from work. But sometimes I'll get triggered at work and not do something about it right away. And then I'll isolate, and the next thing I know, there goes all my energy, and my mental health is not good. Like, now I'm having flashbacks. Now I'm, like, you know, morbid reflection, as they like to call it in the book kind of thing. And, yeah, that's when I really, really, really got to talk to someone I trust. I had a therapist for about 2 years, and my insurance covered her. But when I switched jobs last year, my insurance didn't cover her. And I did pay out of pocket $125, but I'm going to tell you something right now. She was great. She kept me accountable. But as far as like any of the hocus pocus, you know, jargon they use, no, it didn't work. You know what I mean? I think the most things that's ever worked for me, my mental health, my sobriety, my relationships, is step work, prayer, and meetings. And why I say meetings is because, like I just told you earlier, just sitting right here, seeing the token takers take time, it gave me like a, like, it's like a drink. It's like I got to have a drink, you know, the effect. You know, sometimes just seeing people get this thing, it does, it makes me feel so alive, you know, like, wow. It just gives me, you know, and I think that's why we come to meetings, really. I'm not gonna say it was always like that. It's definitely like that now. I think it would happen a little bit when I was new. But I was always, when I was new, I was always looking for like, okay, whatever they just said right now, I'm not listening no more, because I was convinced they were lying. But so I would have to check myself and ask myself, okay, did I just check out right now? Like I would look at the clock, because I used to smoke a lot when I first got here, and I wanted to smoke. But I chew gum now, but the nicotine gum, just like John. Oh, and there's another person too that chews gum like me, like an alcoholic, right? But yeah, I used to watch the clock, and but then finally I started, because I had this wonderful lady, Paulette, who passed away, but she was on to me, man. She like knew just by looking at me. She had a blue eye and a green eye. It was really weird, like David Bowie, yeah. And but she was super cool, and she would just look at me and with her finger, and you know, we had this bond. And I didn't really want the bond. I don't think she did either, but we just were like magnets, you know? And she would pick me up because she knew I was lying. She knew that I would say I would go to the meeting, but I wasn't going to go, so she picked me up. She'd just be at my house, and I'm not going to say no to her face. So she's like, but she understood me. She knew I was very tired. I was very, very sleepy a lot. So if like, I was just very, very, very tired always. I'm not like that no more. Thank you, God. That's a promise. That's a promise. Because Stella, my two coworkers know how tired I would be. I don't do that no more. I think it's just maybe, it used to be every day I needed like a 2 to 3 hour nap. No, I don't. For some reason, that was relieved. And I do consider that a promise because I didn't do anything different. I didn't. So, yeah, something's just one day you'll wake up. I'm serious when I tell you this, and it's just not an issue no more. Really interesting. But, yeah, in the beginning, naturally, I hadn't done a lot of step work. Naturally, I didn't have the connections to God that I have now. And the relationship I have with God definitely has fulfilled a lot of empty holes. But when I had the empty hole, when I had Paulette, it was very helpful because she'd be like, just go, Charlene. You're going to go. And all these things that Joyce was talking about, like the Halloween parties, the alkathons, just go. Because it changed for me. It just brings you closer to everybody in this room in like a meaningful way. And God will orchestrate it to where like you're there right when, I don't know, when he needs you to be, so to speak. Because I never regretted going to an alkathon, and I was tired. We'd always get the weird slots, right? Like 2 a.m. and tell me why Patty would sign me up. And she can't even get up like that. And then Chris would be in on it too. Yeah, poor Chris. But I mean, yeah, I think there's a lot of people who go regularly to the alkathons. They're in this room right now. And I mean, it's always a good time. It's good. I like holidays to reflect, but I want to be safe. You know, there's no alcohol. There's no drugs here. You know, and people are just grateful. And that's usually the topic. It's always about gratitude and fellowship. And but yeah, I feel like all the investments I made into AA have paid me 100,000 times over, you know, like in every aspect of my recovery. But if you're new and I want to say this, if you're new and you were like me, where you wondered if you were going to get your mental clarity back or your mental health back, you will. Just don't drink, don't use, and don't do it alone. Don't do this thing alone. Don't just have a sponsor and not be helping someone. Do service, do stuff like this, and because the results will be later. You know what I mean? You'll feel it later. Because I don't wait. I'm never in the mood to sponsor someone. Trust me. But I do it. And then all of a sudden, I'm in the mood. Yeah, I just got to go pick them up. That's all I got to do, literally. It's just the head. That's why I got to turn the head off and just do it. Because my head will say, nah, man, I'm not in the mood. And I know I'm not in the mood. I'll never be in the mood. Never. So, yeah, my moods were controlling me. And that's like a... If I ever let my mood do it, then I'm closer to a drink than I really know, you know, because it's, yeah, because, yeah, yeah. So resentments, too, are totally normal in recovery. That's why, like, I mean, it's really, really is. Like, you're going to get, I mean, you ain't numbing out no more. You're going to feel everything. You're going to get pissed off more than you ever did, most probably. And don't let anyone tell you different. It's totally okay if you want to rant and, like, call someone and freaking go off the hook. Because if they're, and that's what I love about AA, they're honest. They'll be like, whoa. You know what I mean? Even if they're super nice, they're still going to be like, wow. And then if you hear that, you're going to be like, yeah, freaking, you know, it's just an emotion. And I'm a stuffer, you know. I never wanted to own that, but I am a stuffer. And it was just because, you know, when you're a kid and you kind of do it, and then it just turns into, like, you take it into adulthood, I feel like. And if I stuff too much, I'm not going to feel like $1 million. I'm going to feel like talking shit for, like, 1 million hours. To more than one person, too. Like, I'll talk to you, and then I'm going to go tell you the same thing. Like, when are you going to be done, right? And then that's a good time to be like, did I pray about it? You know I didn't. Not if I'm talking about it like this. So, yeah, so prayer is definitely something, and just talk, and I had to turn it into, like, a conversation, like, me and God. I get on the knees, try to get in the mood, right, and just be in my room and just start talking, and then so I can hear myself talk to God, and that's when I feel like I can hear God talk to me, but only when I do that. And it's difficult sometimes because, I don't know, it's almost like I don't want to hear him. It's almost like I want to figure it out on my own or some shit, you know? And that's pride. That's just my pride, you know? If I don't want to listen. I remember I wrote that on my chalkboard at work on my door. I put, wisdom listens, you know? But that was only because one time I had a God shot, and I go, yeah. And then I'd read it somewhere, I don't know where, or somebody said it, wisdom listens. And I didn't like the way that sounded. I thought... But it makes total sense, and I want to be wise. AA's made me wise. The books made me wise. Everyone who's come before me has made me so wise and so nice. And there's just something about AA that I couldn't find anywhere else. I'm not saying it's not in other places. I'm just saying that, yeah, when I go out of state, when I get the luxury to go out of state, I go to, or even out of town, I'll go to a meeting, right? Even if I go by myself, I don't care. I'll go by myself. Because when me and my dad went to Louisiana, that's where he's from, I couldn't wait to get there because I wanted to see what they're doing in AA. So I found a meeting every day at noon, and I was staying out there for 3 weeks. This was 2 years ago, and it was on a street called Broad, not Broadway, but Broad, right? And because I liked how you broke it down about the wheel thing and this street and that street. Yeah, it was funny because I remember driving down there. My uncle's like, "Why do you need to go to AA?" Right? So, me and him didn't get along, but. And I would answer him like, you know how we answer our family, our elder, right? I'm like, well, you know, I like to go. He's all, you just don't drink. It's not even about the alcohol, sir. You know what I mean? Like, I want to go be, it's a spiritual hour. Do you like that better? And that's what I learned. Sometimes we don't need to say AA, you know what I mean? Because you're going to get some, you know? I don't want to hear the, I don't want to sit there and explain, But I mean, we live and learn, right? We live and learn. So then I was like, no. You know, I called it AA, but it's more of a spiritual, you know, hour, right? And I loved it, you guys. Louisiana AA right there in Lake Charles on Broad, the Nooner, man. And they had people from San Diego. They transplanted. And it was just neat hearing their transplant story. You know, they missed the weather, but nothing else. So I thought that was cool. I go, I feel this, you know. I kind of want to be where you're at, you know. And I could do that in recovery. I could do that in my sobriety. If I wanted to, I could, you know? And like Rachel, like a lot of people we know did, you know, and they're fine. There's AA everywhere. And we got phone, we got technology, you know what I mean? And we got, and a few of us have a little money, we can come out here and do speaker night at Pioneers, you know? So, I mean, yeah, and that kept me sane because like I told you, me and my uncle we didn't really hit it off. He hadn't seen me since I was, I think, 12. So he didn't know what to expect with me. I didn't care. Like, I didn't think it was going to be an issue because, you know, I feel pretty confident about, like, how I interact with my family in general. Like, I don't feel like I have, you know, I don't know, anything to feel bad about. But going down there, I got a taste of what it's like. You don't have to do nothing wrong for someone just not to like you. He said, he told me, you talk way too fast for me. I was like, oh, my God. So with some folks, you're just never going to win, right? And he was like, and he told my dad right in front of me, why didn't you just bring Chuck? Why'd you bring her? But you know what? It's all good. Because you know what? I actually can appreciate that kind of honesty. Because a lot of people, even in San Diego, say that. Okay? Why didn't you bring Chuck? Why'd you bring Charlene? I've been hearing that my whole... Chuck is my brother. He's, you know, red hair, super cool personality. Big Mike knows him. A few of you guys know him. Super cool. And if you had your pick, it's okay. Chuck win. Hands down, he'll win. He's freaking awesome. And he's in this program, too. You know what I mean? And, Chuck's just super cool, and he's just entertaining to look at. He's got a red beard. He puts jewelry in it. Like, he's just cool. And you know what? He has a relationship, and he don't care what you say. Like, he'll own it. He's like, you know, about it. So, but I'm talking about, I love my brother so much, but yeah, we still kind of have, like, a competition going on that will never go away. I don't know. I don't think it's unhealthy. I think it's all right. You know, it kind of keeps us close in a way, you know? But he definitely has a life of his own, and sometimes I'm afraid that when my dad does pass, that we won't be close. I do have that fear because my dad is the glue. So what I figured is, you know, I got to be my own glue, me and God, and I got to have a good stick, you know, because if I want to have a relationship with my brother, I can't depend on. I gotta call him and talk to him and invite him to do things, you know, not just expect, you know, that to happen on its own. And I learned that from you guys too, because that's what I would do with my sponsee. Why wouldn't I do it with my own brother? Do you know what I mean? I would call my sponsee if she ain't calling me. Straight up. Hey, how you doing? Like nothing. But I can't do it with my own brother. You know what I mean? So it's interesting how it's really interesting. But things do get better. I do suggest, like, just whenever anybody says, even if it's not your sponsor, they say do some step work, just do it. Just do it on the low. You don't even have to tell them. You know what I mean? Just do it. Because I remember someone said something like, Charlene, have you done inventory? Like, I remember I just, like, bumped in this lady. We're all leaving the meeting at the same time, and I'm super tired. I don't want to talk to nobody. So I heard what she said. I said, I'm going to go ahead and do that. And I went home, and I did it. Because I trust her. Whatever she saw, even if I didn't want to do it, I didn't want to do it. I was tired, and I felt like I'm just tired. That's why I look like this. I'm just tired. But no, it was more than that. Sometimes I think we could just see through each other because we're looking in a mirror, you know? So, yeah, I wish I could go to more meetings than I am right now. Yeah, because, I mean, basically every time I go to a meeting, I hear or I see something that I want, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to work on that, you know? But I wouldn't see it or know it unless I went to a meeting. And it is hot up here. Let's see. My dad said to tell all you guys hi. I'm going to go see him tomorrow. He's a good guy. I will. I will, honey. I will. And then, So I remember being in a book study with Cam, right? And we would read, and there was highlighters involved and all that. And I really liked that part. That I always took away the all-inclusive, not exclusive. You know, that's what AA is. Because even though I never wanted to identify as an alcoholic, everything I got from AA helped me not pick up the pipe, not pick up the drink, and just not, you know, kill myself. So, and I really just, it always spoke to me, all-inclusive, non-exclusive, you know, that everyone's welcome, and if they want to leave, they can leave, but I'm not going to tell them to go anywhere, you know what I mean? My spiritual health, too, I just like to be around spiritually healthy people that do talk about God, even if it's not my God. I just like hearing it. It makes me feel better. You know, and just makes me feel like, yeah, I need reminders that, you know, God's working in someone's life. And that's, you know, we usually hear it in the rooms. I call people and you know, Tonda always talks about God. I just love it, man. It's music to my ears. It's what I need. And that's when I can actually listen. That's when wisdom listens happens, because I'm hearing about something bigger than myself, you know, and it's just nice to hear it. And I gravitate to it, and it's attractive to me, super attractive. I feel safe. But yeah, right now I'm just super focused on, you know, being more about my 10 step, acceptance, of life, the way it's, you know, whatever's going to happen, it's God's plan. Even when I was jail and didn't have a relationship with God, I remember I wrote on the wall, for some reason, God has a plan, in pencil. And I'll never forget it. You know how you have these little captures in your mind of things that you did, whether, you know, you were incarcerated or wherever? Oh, you guys can see my red face?
Yeah.
I'm going to wear it. Okay. Oh, man. No, it's going to get in my hair. Thank you. It's a nice little gadget. But let's see. Yeah, I'm going to wrap it up right now, you guys. I'm super grateful to speak. I just, you know, when you get up here, you just say whatever. And then I always go, man, I wish I would have talked about X, Y, and Z, right? But I'm just grateful that you did ask me, John, because I thought I, you know, really did a poor job 2 years ago. But I think we just overthink things. One of my favorite ones is we're sure God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. And that's on page 133. And that was hard for me to actually believe is true, but it is true. It really is. And God bless you all. And thank you for listening to me.